Hello everyone, it's me, John, the guy that plays Jefferson Knight. Welcome to Esposito, episode 18, Farewells and Hellos. I just want to say thanks again for listening. We really appreciate all the support that we've been getting from everyone. If you want to find out more about what we're doing, you can check out the Esposito social media channel. So that's Instagram, we're Esposito Podcast. We're also on Twitter and on Facebook. You can also look at our website to find out more about the characters, the character sheets, the guys that play, and see some maps that Tom's been making. I just want to say thanks as well to everyone that's been reviewing the show. We've had a few in recently and they're really great reviews, so we really appreciate that. If you've not reviewed it, you can review us. We'd really appreciate that. Or just give us a rating, that'd be lovely too. But yeah, it's a short intro today. I hope you enjoy it. I'm making it longer by describing how short it is, but I hope you enjoy that too. Anyway, enjoy episode 18.
Last time on Esposito.
Jefferson has succeeded, but only in retrieving the lifeless corpse of Ozan. You see something moving from behind the gurney.
It has been an incredibly bad, incredibly long day. So if you could just stand up, I won't shoot at you.
Well, I surrender.
Who is this, sorry?
So you recognise this as a member of the Alacrity crew who was actually in the fight with you. I can give you information. Venin has been consorting with the Fist of Gural quite a lot recently. This is where Venin has been doing most of his dealings with the Fist of Gural, as far as I know. And you look, and it's the same coordinates that you pulled from the sim as to the last location of the Shattered Tower.
Do you have any, like, security information about what is there?
He nods and goes back to the computer and transfers another file there. That's a 6-digit code. That should get you past the... that should get you in, at the very least. And Korchev looks around a bit sheepishly and says, what's happening?
Right, here's what we know. The guy in the airlock said that the place the Shattered Tower was is a black site owned by River Sister, developing something with a Lorendi mercenary crew, and that's where they're doing it.
Is this to do with the artifact that was stolen off the Callistus?
I mean, he is fairly useless, this guy. I believe so. It would make sense if that's where the Shattered Tower went after destroying the Callistus. Like, I think this is all connected to the Callistus. That's all. At the minute, I'm just following a trail of breadcrumbs here. I'm really sorry that we don't have more information for you. I'm also really sorry that Pax is very rude. I'm sorry that Prim is a little bit judgy. I'm sorry that D4 is just perfectly pleasant.
It's a character flaw I need to work on. But you're all teaching me day by day.
I think we've all had quite a long day. I guess we're all going to say and do some things which we might not be particularly proud of. Myself included, you know.
Oh, well, thanks for the apology.
I think, like you said, Prim, we're all grieving.
Some of us more than others, it would seem.
Yep.
Look down at the unconscious body of Pax.
So, here's what I've got. We'll go in there. We're going to look around, see what they've got. Maybe hurt them a bit.
Probably kill them. I mean, I'm feeling kill.
I'm not against it.
Oh, a bit of bloodlust from D4. Nice.
I turn to an empty space in the cockpit and say, it is nice to see some character development, isn't it?
I mean, it's always fun. Just don't let Pax near my corpse again, yeah?
I do not give you permission to Whoopi Goldberg my podcast.
I'm going to whoop it all up in this bitch.
Jesus. This is not canon.
I whisper to Prim, I think Jefferson might have suffered a head wound. He keeps talking to himself.
He has been off today. He's been so rude. I mean, I know it's a tough time, but...
Probably brain damage.
I can only hope.
So that's what we're doing. We're going to do that. I'm leaving Pax to decide what he wants to do with the guy in the airlock.
At this point, Pax shakes awake from his unconscious state. what's the plan? Just repeat everything you just said.
We're going to where we were going before, but this time we have a better idea of what's there.
Ah, nice. Nice and simple. Pax can understand this.
And we do have a uniform, so one of us can go in disguise. I've just realised that I have an Esper power that means I can change what I look like, so I can do that anyway. So two of us can go wherever we like.
We need to speak about what we're going to do with them. Are we going to have a funeral?
I mean, we have to, don't we, really?
Seems only right.
I've been searching around for this this gun that I finally found, and I thought it might be quite a nice send-off to do a flare salute of some kind.
Whilst I agree in principle,
I think the void of space might not be the best location.
Yeah, like doing it on the ship in an enclosed space.
Also a bad idea.
I mean, it is very in memory of Ozan.
I mean, if I knew Ozan at all, I think he'd quite like to just be loaded into the cannons and shot out into a star.
I turn to an empty space in the cockpit and say, what would you prefer?
I mean, I'm surprised out of all of you, Korchev got the closest.
Oh, right, really?
Yeah,
Korchev, I mean, we're going with you.
Excellent. Nobody ever goes on my ideas.
Shut up, Korchev.
I guess we'll put the flare gun in there with him. Can we set fire to him and then launch him into space?
Have you ever heard of, you know, gilding the lily?
Yeah, it makes a really bitchin' lily.
I guess so. Big fiery lily.
You know what? It doesn't quite make sense because it's to paint the lily to gild refined gold.
Okay.
Like, yes, it's just mashing that whole line into one.
Okay,
like,
have you ever heard of...
We're either gilding gold or we're painting lilies.
Do you have the phrase, a hat on a hat?
Yes.
It's that.
That's a good look for some.
It's all got a bit Dr. Seuss.
Have you never heard of Johnny Two Hats? A hat on a hat is a good look. So
let's just get it done.
I feel that Ozan's very hat on a hat.
Yeah, he's not a guy that did things by half measures or even single measures. He did things in, I guess, entire bottles.
I didn't like green eggs and ham, though.
He didn't like green eggs and ham, though, guys.
I'm just going to plot a course to the nearest star.
Oh, yeah, that's bitching. We'll set him on fire, launch him into a star.
Mm-hmm.
And you fly for several hours across the sector of space, and soon you come to the edge of a galaxy, and you come to the centre of a star system within the galaxy. And once you get to the outer radius of the star's pull, you load the body of Ozan into one of the torpedo tubes on the Luciola. Prim brings up a couple of jerry cans of fuel, which she'd siphoned out.
Real classy, Prim. No, I mean that genuinely.
Really? You're doing this now?
I was being genuine. Just in a deadpan way.
She smiles and carries on pouring the fuel into the tube. If anyone would like to do the honours.
I pull out the flare gun.
Are you setting light to him now?
Yeah, I was just going to flare gun pop him.
So you pull out the flare gun, you fire it.
You can stop me if you want.
I just want to say he was an uncontrollable, short-sighted prick of a cold, unfeeling crocodile combined with an uncalculating, twatish, cold, unfeeling robot.
Oh, you guys.
But you know what? I'm probably going to miss him, even though things will probably go a lot more to plan.
He was a good friend with terrible impulse control.
I'll always remember that time we fell down that elevator shaft together. It's a good time in my life.
It was literally the first time we met.
Yeah. And I fire the gun into his, the flare into his oiled up corpse.
That's hot.
Oh, that's hot.
Oiled up corpse is not a sentence I want to hear too often in my life. You fire your red hot load into this oiled up corpse, and There is a burst of flame that engulfs his body. Seelix quickly jumps forward and slams the torpedo tube shut and spins the wheel. And she puts her finger in her ear on the comms and says, "Korchev, you best fire that now." And there's a small pause and then a... And you run back up to the viewing port in the front of the ship and see this glowing corpse fly through space, leaving a trail of embers and ash and energy behind it. And it gets closer and closer to the sun until the sun's brightness consumes the corpse entirely.
And as this happens, I say, "Of all the souls I've encountered in my travels, his was the most human." But like, the camera pans as I say human, and it looks like Prim said human. And that is my last reference to The Wrath of Khan.
For this episode, anyway.
Just adding flare gun to my inventory.
You know, I had one on me the entire time.
Really? Shit. Well, it's good that you were buried with it.
Yeah. Like, I had quite a lot of stuff on me, and no one really looted my corpse. So I was, manacles and rope and shit. Like,
did you have any weapons left?
Yeah, I had my long blade, a heavy pistol. Yeah.
What armor did you have on, actually?
I had the full body armor, the heavy armor.
Oh, I've got that already.
The send off was hilarious, so I'm very, very pleased with that.
You should go down with your weapons and gear anyway. It's a classic kind of medieval death.
Yeah,
funeral
in space. No, I'm sad. I'm not going to be playing Ozone anymore. This new guy's going to be a change of pace for everybody.
I'll put it even worse, or
we'll see.
Aaron,
what's up, G?
You wake up on the cold concrete floor. The stark fluorescent lights around you flicker and you squint as the bright light brings you back to consciousness. So far, you've been able to sleep through the bright lights, but this time something's woken you up. You look around you. You are alone in a square, featureless room. The only things you can see are a pile of aluminium canteen trays, which guards have brought your meals on and forgotten to collect, with a pile of plastic plates and plastic cutlery. And on the other side is a small metal bucket with a wire handle, sorry.
A wire bucket sounds awful.
It does. That's just that's just something you put in a chip pan.
Like, that's a sieve, Tom.
It's a sieve. There is a small metal bucket with a wire handle in the corner of the room, which is supposed to pass for most people's toilets. Not that that's something you've had need of since you've been here. The rest of the room is grey and plain. The large door is imposing and made of thick steel. It has a small lock on the left-hand side and a small slat which can be opened for guards to look in. The light flickers slightly as you look around. There's a strange silence around your jail cell. Usually lights flickering here is a normal occurrence, but it's usually accompanied by something. A slight humming, creaks, or pipes whooshing liquid through the walls, but this time there's no sound. Again, the lights flicker, and this time there is a sound. For the life of you, it sounded like gunfire. Again, gunfire. You heard it quickly and clearly this time. Soon after, it's followed by a scream. Something is happening outside your cell. It's something that sounds very bad. Is there anything you wish to do at this stage?
I roll over and I go back to sleep.
Okay. There's a bit more silence and more gunfire and more screams. Quickly after, you hear a noise at the door of your cell. The slat opens. "You, prisoner, we need to get you out of here. We've been ordered to evacuate. Can you fight?"
"No."
"Look, come here. Come to the door."
"No."
"Don't be like, I've got orders. Something's going on. Something is wrong. We need to get you out of here now."
I don't care. I come here for a brief research symposium and I wake up in Guantanamo Bay. This is ridiculous. This isn't how you treat your... I'm going to leave such a review on Space Yelp.
This is no time to get uppity. This, and you hear him sort of stop, and he, through the gap in the door, you see him look to the side and he says, "Oh, shit." And there is this almost inhumane scream which curdles your blood. The guard yells in pain as his body is slammed repeatedly into the door. And you can just look and you try to get a bit of a better view, and bright red fingers soaked in blood grasp onto the edge of the hole in the door in the viewing port. And they hold on tight, but you can see them slipping as they're being pulled away from the door. Another hand appears, reaching through the door, as he's... something is currently attacking him.
Yeah, that seems serious. I'm going to walk over to the bucket, and I'm going to try and pull the handle off the bucket.
Okay. Yeah, that's fairly easy. It's a pretty shoddy bucket.
Okay, and then sort of quite nonchalantly with my back to the door, I'm just going to slowly just try and sort of like twist it into a lockpick.
Okay, excellent. Just over your shoulder, you hear more screams, and you take a quick glance and the hand has gone from the door and there's silence. The viewing port is now left open and there's bloody handprints all around the inside.
I just shake my head and say to myself, drama queen.
Okay, so yeah, so you managed to fashion a fairly useful piece of wire out of this.
And then I guess I'm going to attempt to pick the lock.
Yeah, do you want to roll, are you proficient with lock picking?
Yes. Excellent. But I don't know what skill it governs.
So it would just be a dex plus your proficiency.
Okay, so that is 19.
Excellent. It's quite difficult. It's a fairly sturdy lock, and you're not using proper infiltration tools here. But after a little while, you do manage to get the latch to click and the door slowly swings open. In front of you is a long steel passageway running from the north to the south. The floor is made of the same steel grating and it's dark. The only light is emergency lighting, which barely helps you see more than a dozen or so feet ahead. At the other end of the corridor, it twists around to the right, and about where you are, there's a door opposite, and the corridor also goes over to the left. Just on the floor in front of you is what remains of your guard. His body has been clearly ripped in two. There is parts of him in several places. And
Can I sort of I look down at the guard and I say to myself, wow, he really went to pieces.
Get a last action hero, that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. You punch in the coordinates which the prisoner in the airlock gave you, and they match up to a star system not too far away. You can make it there in a few hours. You punch them in, Pax, and the Navi computer engages and starts making the calculations to plot a safe course across the galaxy. And the coordinates lead you towards a hunk of rock floating several parsecs out from any notable planet. It's far from any trade routes or normal places where traffic would usually go. The nearest charted civilization is a few dusty frontier rocks with small mining towns, a bit like Peloton, and it's days out now from the urban bustle of Rith. Slowly, ahead of you, a small rock appears floating in the distance. It's irregularly formed and is covered with various craters and impacts from over thousands of years of collisions. And as you fly forward, as it gets a bit bigger in the viewport, an automated message appears on the pilot's console in large red text, and it just says, "You are entering restricted space. Adjust course and turn back immediately."
I ask Pax to put in that code that the guy gave me.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's a Has it got like a reply function?
It doesn't. It's an automated message. The code just bounces. It comes from noreply@secretbase.org. Little email joke for you there.
No, just keep on going. We'll just keep on going.
You keep on going. You get very close to the asteroid surface, and it looks like a fairly normal asteroid from your initial browsings.
You see, their mistake here, if they wanted to keep the base secret, they shouldn't have had anything saying that it was restricted space. Just leave it looking like a... That's sloppy work on their part. They overthought that, I think. Sorry, Tom.
No, I agree.
Marks Jefferson for death.
The asteroid begins to fill the viewport at the front of the ship, and Pax, you double-check the coordinates, and this is definitely the right place. This is where the Shattered Towers transponder last pinged to the Silrain grid.
Is there any kind of entrance or kind of hangar bay? Or?
How are you looking? What are you doing? You just looking?
We'll try the scanners, I suppose. Yeah.
So are you doing that, or D4? Are you taking over from the engine room, or?
I don't think a scanner check's a good idea at this stage, because
it'll alert them.
So
all right, I just use my natural eyes.
Using the eyes in your face, can you roll a quick investigation check?
Oh, not a perception. Okay. That's a natural one, ladies and gentlemen. It was going to happen at one point.
Yeah. Looks like a fairly normal base from up here. No, damn it. Shit. Looks like a fairly normal asteroid from where you are. Definitely not a base.
All right, guys, give me a second. I'm going to go have a chat with our friend. Then I walk down to the airlock and I knock on the glass.
He looks through the window looking a bit intimidated. Time in an airlock is time that close to potential death is quite a sobering place to be.
Howdy, chum.
He mouths back at you.
Shit. Is there like an intercom?
There is now.
Yay! I use the intercom. Howdy, chum.
Hello.
Okay. Good.
Is this it? Do I die now?
Well, that's up to you, really. So, we're at you. You're going with no?
No would be my choice if it's up to me.
I mean, that's what you're saying literally, but I guess it's down to how you respond in the next few minutes as to whether or not I hear no.
Okay.
Please vent me into space. It's what I've always wanted to do.
Okay, I appreciate that I'm at a poor negotiation place here, but if I tell you what you want to know, do you promise to not vent me into space?
Oh, you see, this is much cleverer behaviour. I see, having some time to think.
I've given you some information on the, gratis, as it were. Now...
All right, I'll tell you what. I will, and I tune Prim in via the comms. I'll bring the conscience of the ship into play here. The one who walks around and looks at what's going on...
And decides what's a
good idea or a bad idea in a moral way. Hey, Prim, how you doing?
I'm kind of flattered, really. I mean, I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Not really my intention, but fine. right, so now that we have a witness to this conversation, it's still not particularly legally binding, but I think it's as legally binding as we're going to get in this particular situation.
Jefferson, promise... will you stop tormenting the man and just ask him what you want to know?
All right, well, I'm giving him a guarantee first. I promise I won't kill you if you give me what I need to know, and it works.
Okay, yes, whatever you need.
How do we get into the base?
There is a blast door there. It's in a small gully. You can see on the Rith side of the asteroid. Just look for the formation of three rocks and follow the gully that starts there deep into the rock, and you will be able to see a large blast door there.
Okay, thank you very much. I relay that to Pax, and I stay there.
Pax, looking, you can see where he means. It's a definite reference point. Following it down, you can see a large blast door in the rocks.
Okay, let's take this nice and slow on the approach.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I say to him, okay, we're doing well. How do we open the blast door?
And the code I gave you should work fairly well. I mean, not just fairly well, like as well as well is. It will. It should open the door. All things.
Well, where do we input it? Is there like a keypad? Do we like bump it with the ship?
There's a small keypad. You have to put it in by hand. It's on the right hand side of the door.
Ugh.
Like I said, there's no hangar bay. There's no. You'll just have to put the ship down actually on the rock.
Oh, what? Are we just walking? Okay, I get it. I guess we do. You guys, you're all right with that?
So the ship can't go through the blast, or it's not big enough.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
is that right, man who could die? What was your name, man who could die?
Travers, specialist Travers.
Travers. All right. Do you want to come?
No.
Yeah, I guess you are just in your underwear.
Yes. And speaking of which, if you have any spare clothes, they would be. I would be much obliged.
I actually give him his clothes back.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Do we need him now?
I said.
You said you would not. I say this so he can hear it.
Pax, don't you dare. Jefferson, give this man his word.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to let Prim decide this.
Prim, you keep an eye on him while we're gone.
Will do, D4.
I think maybe, yeah, Seelix and Korchev should probably just stay. And keep, because he was quite. He took me down twice. I'm not gonna lie.
He was quite a skilled combatant. He definitely is good.
I think we need to tie him up before we go, at least.
Oh really? Yeah. I need an airlock. If anything, I was gonna suggest a chair and some reading material.
I suppose there's another exit for us to go out.
Okay. Yeah.
No to the chair and the reading material. That's my vote.
Have we got any space? Take a break.
Yeah, you've got space. Hello.
Is there an article like my captain keeps talking to a dead crewmate?
Yeah, there is an. I'm having a baby with my crewmate's ghost.
So we get a new character for Rosen.
All right, let's just skip ahead because this is probably very dull. we leave him with some terrible space magazines. And Prim, Seelix, and Korchev are guarding him.
Okay.
We put on our suits and go and open the door with the code.
Yep, so you approach a large but very well-concealed reinforced steel blast door. It's been painted to blend in with the surrounding rock almost perfectly. And it would be almost impossible to notice if you weren't looking in the right place. Do you want to just roll a quick perception check?
Yep.
Everyone.
Everyone, yeah, who's there, yeah.
Yeah, 18.
16.
Okay, so you hear a small buzzing noise. You can't quite make out where it's coming from. It goes for a couple of seconds, and then it goes again before it goes silent. And just above you notice a small CCTV camera above the door whirring away. You find the keypad, exactly where you said, on the right-hand side of the rock wall door. And you brush away some dirt. It's obviously not used very often. The door's often open from within. But you find a small 10-digit keypad with a dim red LED light illuminated by it. Below the keypad, you find two words with a small blue symbol that looks like an R with planetary rings surrounding it. And it says the words, Revesis Industries. You input the code and with quite a loud, thunderous groan, these doors split apart and you step into the airlock and they close behind you again and the inner doors open as you look into an entrance hall. Inside lies a dark corridor. There's some emergency lighting lines going down the edges of the corridor leading off into the distance. The floor is made of one large continuous steel grating and the walls are a sort of dull military brown. But it is dark. In the dim light from the emergency lighting, you can just about see a door on your left and one on your right, and one of them has a small terminal by it, and ahead, the corridor bends around to the left. The air around you is deathly quiet and cold, and your breath is turning to mist as you breathe. There is nobody there. Aaron, as you were walking along the corridor, you see a light growing from the end of the corridor and you hear the sound of this heavy blast door opening accompanied by the sound of this large klaxon giving a noise. As you edge towards it, again you see a bit of light drifting into the corridor, and you hear a couple of voices speaking to each other from around the corner. It's quite a way away, and you walk down the steel corridor with the grated floor through the darkness, and these voices get closer, and it's clear that they've entered the corridor where you're stood. So, Aaron, you are in the darkness. You're in the darkness, stood in a featureless corridor. You can't see much, but you can feel the grates under your feet and see the emergency lighting the way just about so you can see. Everyone else, you are staring into the pitch blackness, as your eyes haven't quite adjusted yet, of an underground research facility which you assume belongs to Revesis. And that's where you're currently stood, so how do you want to play?
Did we bring torches?
I'm sure you would have some torches. It's fairly basic equipment. There'll be one built into your EVA suit on the shoulder.
I turn that on so I can see better. And I turn to Pax and D4 and I say, look, if we run into anyone, I'm the captain.
I call my swords to my hands in one swift motion. I go, shut up, human.
Honestly, I will shoot you so fast.
Not before I cut your head off.
I like this. This is fun. D4, do you want to join in?
I mean, this is the exact conversation that Charlie and Mac have in It's Always Sunny about what's quicker, guns or swords. And I can't believe you've actually gone full.
Which is which? I can't remember.
Mac thinks the sword's faster and Charlie thinks the gun's faster. Charlie's
right.
There
you go. No, the gun is faster. Charlie's less intelligent.
What, the Mac?
Yeah.
I start walking down the corridor while they're arguing.
Anyway.
Okay, so you take a step in, and as you take a step in, you hear two quick beeps in quick succession, followed by a whirring noise. And roll a dexterity check for me.
Check or save?
Save, sorry. Absolutely right. Roll a dex save.
That's a 12.
Good.
A 12. As you step in, you hear this whirring noise, and suddenly there's a quick flash of light that flashes on and off, and there's one on your left, one on your right, coming from the ceiling, and you take 7 damage as these two ceiling-mounted autocannons fire upon you and just clip into your armor, knocking you back.
Guys, we should be careful. There might be security measures in place.
I think you're right.
Okay.
Take cover.
In front of you, you can see it still, now that they've activated up, you can see these two red lights in the darkness. Aaron, you hear this gunfire in the distance and you're not quite sure where it's coming from or who it's between, but you assume somebody's firing on somebody.
Can I take a shot at one of the red lights or both of them? Right.
Just swing your sword at them, see how it goes.
No, I'm going to sheathe my swords and take out my two heavy pistols. Sometimes range is good, but damage-wise... Anyway, we'll get past this.
Okay. Do you have night vision? Does anyone not have night vision or dark vision?
I don't think I have dark vision. I am a human, so probably not.
I do have dark vision.
But I've turned my torch on, so...
That's true.
I do not, I don't think. It doesn't say on my sheet, so... I'm shooting blind.
Okay, so do you want to... Are you firing at the left one or the right one?
I'm going to do both at the same time. Dualies.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can you roll 2 attacks at disadvantage?
I can. So 15 on the first one.
Yep.
And I rolled a natural 20. 10 on the second one.
Okay, so the first one hits. Do you want to roll damage on that?
Oh, good. 5.
So you fire and you see sparks fly out of one of the turrets. You hear the motor whir around and they both focus in on you. And they whir up again and fire on you. And one of them hits, again, the bullets cracking into your armour. And you take 7 points of damage from that as it hits you.
D4. Can we start looking to see if there's any, like, panels to turn this off?
That seems sensible.
By we, I mean can you, because... I mean, I guess I'll look as well, but when I find it, it's on you.
Yeah. So let's have a look around and see if we can see anything to hack.
I'll also get into cover at this point.
Yes, sorry, I'm assuming I've dodged out the way of the...
Yeah, I assume you're not stood in the middle of the gangway constantly getting shot.
This is very painful.
All you can see is the terminal, the entry terminal, which doesn't really feel like it would be linked up to anything. But you could definitely give it a go. There is a small screen on it.
The terminal that we entered the passcode
in?
Yeah, I'm going to have a go. Is that within line of fire of the...
No, it would be just out of sight around the corner of the door.
Okay, I'm going to try and hack that with some... I think I've got some hacking tools.
Roll a computers check. It's going to be quite hard, you think, because this isn't really going to be part of the same system, you don't think.
Oh, that's two tens in a row, so that's 14.
So you managed to get into the subroutines of the door entry, but you can't find a way to get into the security systems.
I mean, I guess we could just try and keep shooting at them until they stop working.
That's the Epsilon Shift way.
Let's do it from cover, though, rather than...
Yeah. Can I take cover and take some shots at some turrets?
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, are you doing anything?
So where am I again in relation to, like, these guys and the shooting and stuff?
For all you can really tell is that there is a corridor leading down ahead of you, and round the corner you can hear gunfire and... well, mainly gunfire, to be honest.
I'm going to stick to the wall and sort of, like, get to the end of the corridor, sort of, like, inch my head round and just, like, try and, like, briefly have a spot of what's going on.
Okay, so that's quite easy, actually. You sneak up and what you can see is actually three figures taking cover at the entrance of the complex, which leads out into the asteroid. There seems to be a force field keeping the atmosphere in where you are. And you can see two turrets above you pointing outwards, and these two turrets are trying to hail bullets onto anything that they see.
I am going... Did I overhear their little conversation beforehand?
Roll a perception hearing.
Oh, natural 20.
In that case, yeah, I think you will have heard everything pretty well there.
In that case, judging by that conversation, I am going to wait this one out.
Excellent. So...
Can I, in cover, can I get out my flare gun?
Excellent. Oh, clever.
It begins.
And fire one down the corridor, whispering for Ozen as I do it.
Absolutely. Bear with me one second, because I've forgotten to add little green things for you here, just on the map, so you can see roughly where you are.
So we're currently in the bell end of the corridor.
Yeah. it's referred to affectionately as the helmet.
I'm going to use sensory jammer.
Oh, nice.
Okay, talk to me about that. What does that mean?
Oh, Jefferson, so you create a sensory masking effect around a creature within range, masking them, making it difficult to pinpoint an attack. Until the effect ends, any creature who targets the affected creature with an attack or harmful power must first make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature must choose a new target or lose the attack or power.
Excellent. That sounds great.
So, okay. Boom. Get him, Jefferson.
So you jam based around Jefferson?
Just based around Jefferson, yeah.
Excellent, yeah.
Sweet! And does the flare give me a better view of them?
Yeah, the flare would light up the area quite well, you think.
All right, well, I'm going to take... To add to that, if the warded creature makes an attack or activates a power that affects an enemy creature, the technique's effect ends.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
I don't even want to use that to flank them. Getting that door, and there's a door around the corner.
Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea. How far is that? How far is the door to the left?
So as you look into, you poke your head around the corner, and about 30, just over 30 feet, about 35 feet down the corridor, is a little doorway heading into the left.
All right, well, I'll dash to that doorway then.
Okay, so As you run in, the two turrets whir up again, and one of them spins round and fires a hail of bullets in at the flare, which is sat on the floor. The other one fires towards you, and also both of them actually target the flare on the floor, firing bullet after bullet into the steel grated floor, and sparks are flying up. As they do that, you manage to sneak round them and duck into the door.
Yeah, and the way it looks as I do it is I run out and I'm like, oh god, oh god, oh god, and then I realise that nothing's firing at me, so I sort of slow it down a little bit and make it look a bit cooler if I can.
Can I take a couple of shots whilst he's running?
Yeah, absolutely.
At me?
Absolutely. roll an attack.
I don't need to do it with disadvantage this time. It's lit up,
no, or... you can probably see them quite well because they're lit up from their own gunfire as well as the flare.
Okay, the first shot is 22.
That definitely hits.
The second shot is 13.
That just hits as well, so you managed to hit both of them. Lovely. Is that one on each again?
One on each, and seven, two fours, 7 points of damage to each of them.
Okay, so the first one, the one on the right, explodes in a shower of sparks, and the metal and the gun crashes down onto the floor with a heavy tonk noise and rolls around slightly. The other one, distracted from the flare, spins itself up and points towards you and fires a salvo of bullets just hitting the concrete of the corner just there by you, and you manage to duck your head around so that they miss you as chunks of concrete fly out and scatter across the floor.
I'm going to, from my vantage point now, take a couple of shots at that one. I'm going to use my sharpshooter on both of them.
One of them's destroyed now.
Yeah, so as in both shots.
Oh, okay.
So there's two shots at the same gun.
Yep, so you can fire those.
Okay, so that is with the sharpshooter... Damn it, Matt. 23, 13.
Yep, that hits.
And the other one doesn't, I assume, because it is 1. Plus 7, minus 10. Yeah, 1.
That does not hit.
Okay, well, I'll just do the normal damage on the first.
Is it plus 10, the damage on that?
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, I did that wrong, actually. That's
it's minus 5
minus
10.
5 plus 10, yeah. So the first one is actually... 18, and the second one, to be fair, is still...
Yeah, it's still not going to hit.
Still not going to hit.
But it's plus 10 damage, is it?
Yeah.
So you casually step out of the doorway and just lift one of your pistols towards the turret and place a well-aimed shot into the loading mechanism, and it jams up, and again, sparks fly out as the cannon explodes in a small burst of electrical flame and crashes to the floor. And you are now stood in a dark corridor lit only really by a flare glowing red on the floor. There is a door to your back, Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right-hand side of the corridor is another door with a small terminal outside of it. And straight ahead of you is another set of double doors as the corridor curves around to the left. Aaron, I'm not going to make you roll a stealth check yet because you're perfectly still as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm going to stay hidden and keep listening.
Keep listening, did you say?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, keep listening.
So the rest of you are stood in the entrance hall, or, you know, keeping with the analogy, the shaft of the entrance. I mean, I think it looks more like a pickaxe than a dick.
Yeah, I get that.
Pickaxe knife.
All right, well, I'm going to go through this door.
Behind
Why
you?
Not? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll follow.
Well, I will.
If you want. I'm just going to do a quick perception check to see if there's anything else an auto turret might pop out of.
Yeah, roll a quick perception check for me.
Oh, that's a 9.
You can't see anything, no. You feel like there's no hidden compartments or anything else.
It's probably fine. And I'm going to walk up to the... Is that a not a module. Well, the computer on the...
Yeah,
top
there's a terminal by the door on your right.
Towards the base of the shaft.
Okay. So, Jefferson, you enter a dark room, which is lined with shelves on each side. It's pitch black and there's no light apart from what the flare is glowing behind you. And ahead you can just about see some shelves filled with foodstuffs, canned goods and sundries and various pots and pans. It's all fairly mundane kitchen equipment, really.
Okay, I clap my hands.
Nothing happens. Sorry, that's an in-joke.
I say, okay, Google. Alexa, lights on. Lights.
Now playing, Never Gonna Give You Up from Spotify. So, yeah, you find yourself in what appears to be a small larder or storeroom, but again, it is eerily silent and completely dark. You cannot see much of anything apart from what your torch is illuminating. And as you scan across the room, the torch creates shadows along the back of the wall in the shape of all the different things stashed on the shelves.
I'm not hungry. I leave.
While D4 is at the monitor, but before Jefferson comes, I want to sneak over to D4.
Okay. As in you sneak up behind him?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see a large ashen-forged figure inspecting the terminal at the door. And he goes up and he has a look and types a few things in trying to load the terminal up. And you step out and sneak up to him. Can you roll me a stealth check, please? And I'd like D4 and Pax to contest this. Pax, you're still a little ways back, so you probably can't see into the dark too well. So
my passive perception's 14, if that makes a difference.
I've got a 4.
I don't know if that'd be the thing to beat here. So I'm not actively expecting anyone to sneak up on me.
What did you get, Aaron?
I got 14.
Okay, and what about you, Pax?
Do you want me to roll for this or passive perception?
I think you'd roll for this because you're not relaxed here. You are going into what might be... you don't really know what to expect here. So I think you would be looking around quite actively as you've just walked in.
My roll was a 10.
Okay.
I'm changing.
Do you want me to do this with disadvantage?
I would say disadvantage because you're quite far back.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was awful. No.
Okay, so Aaron, what's your plan here? Because I think D4 just about hears something. He thinks that something might be cropping up behind him. However, by the time he realizes, you're just about on him.
So I just say to him quite quietly and quite reasonably, "You seem like the most intelligent one here." Sorry. You'll have to excuse me. I'm in a state of temporary embarrassment, as it were. Dr. Danson. Yes, hi. I extend my robot hand and my blank robot face attempt to smile. I fail.
So D4, as you turn around, you see this figure in front of you. Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about what this figure looks like?
Okay, so what you see in front of you, it looks like a sort of a cross between a kind of a very shiny, featureless human being and, you guess, kind of a beetle. It seems to be made out of a very shiny, almost chrome sort of black metal. But the head ends in sort of a single eye set into the forehead, which seems to be glowing bright light. And there's a small sort of triangle in his chest, which glowing with similar light. By all intents and purposes, you can see there are little parts of the armor normally where the metal's slightly chipped, but it looks like through wear and tear and just general use and age, seems to be moving in a way that suggests it's not quite a robot.
I look into this robot's single, I guess, and blinking eye.
I mean, and occasionally it blinks on and off in the sense that, you know, it like a lighthouse.
Look over at Pax, I look back into that weird blinking eye again, and then I take my hand out and shake as well.
Oh, thank God. You won't believe the day I've had.
I'm assuming you're not with Revisys.
Well, yeah, you could say that. It's the last time I go to one of their symposiums. They're supposed to put on nibbles, damn it, not take you captive and experiment on you. They gave me a bucket! A bucket!
Truly, truly barbaric. Guys, we've made a friend. Wait, it's Dr. Damson, you nasty.
Yep.
You son of a bitch.
Oh my goodness, that's outstanding.
I love it.
Oh, Jesus. The payoff for that came quick and hard.
Title of your tape.
So, guys, I think we've made a friend. And then, as they're walking over, I turn to Dr. Danson and say, do you know anything about computers or machines? Or because these guys don't have a clue.
My dear boy, what I don't know about computers and machines isn't worth knowing. And what isn't worth knowing, that hack Leroy Jensen knows. I mean, anyway, do you want me to take a look at this?
Yes, be my guest. How's your level of patience?
I'm sorry?
In general, how patient a robot are you?
I would say sort of somewhere between middling to I do not suffer fools at all.
Just work on the machine. Good luck.
Okay.
And I walk over and I say, right, there's no way he gets to be the captain.
Oh, there's a captain slot going. Dr. Captain Damson, I like the sound of that.
I walk over and I say, who the fuck's Wally?
Dr. Captain Damson, you nasty. Pleased to meet you.
I did warn you. I did warn you.
Shouldn't it be Captain
Damson? Young man, when you go through 60 years of prep school, then you can call yourself whatever you want. I am calling myself Dr. Captain Damson, you nasty, and you will like it.
I punch him.
I use light beam.
Okay, wait. Sorry. Pax, have you just punched him?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess it's a bit of a sucker punch. Do you want to roll an attack?
Yes,
and
I do.
I think maybe, Damson, do you want to roll a sort of dexterity save and see if you can beat his attack?
Oh, dexterity save, okay.
Yeah, I don't know, just to see if... Because it's a bit of a sucker punch. I want to see if you can sort of dodge out of the way.
Sure. Oh, cool. I got a 23.
Okay, I got a 6.
Okay, I sort of catch his fist in midair, and there's like a meaty slapping sound, and I just pull Pax real close, and I say, you know what we do to boys who try to sucker punch their betters in public school? And then I lift him up, and I suplex it. That'd be silly.
Roll a strength check?
No, I don't suplex him. That'd be ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
What I do instead is, out of a compartment within my robot body, I whip out a fountain pen and a sheet of paper, and I press them both into Pax's hands, and I basically just recite over and over again until he starts writing. I will not hunt people who are smart.
I watch this and I look at D4 and I say, I don't like him.
I like him more and more.
D4, don't let me not like you.
That's impossible.
Sounds like someone wants some lines over there.
Pax takes a few moments and then it reminds him of his school days all of a sudden. And he starts to shake with fear. And he suddenly starts scribbling the lines. I will not sucker punch robots. I will not sucker punch robots. Was that it?
That's not what we agreed, young man.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, mister. Sir. Doctor. What's your name? Nassie.
That's Doctor Sir to you.
Doctor Sir.
Doctor Captain Sir.
So, thank you, Doctor Captain Sir.
I lean over to Dr. Damson and say, I didn't think he could write.
Everyone can do anything with the right persuasion. It's the art of teaching.
So, Damsel.
Dr. Damsel to you.
I'm just going to stick with Damsel. What are you doing here?
I turn to D4. You see, I've been taken against my will. I was invited here by the Revesis Corporation to consult on my understanding of various crucibles and other... Esper relics, unfortunately it was a ruse, somewhat of a canorous luck, in which I was summoned without nibbles, and captured and well, detained against my will with the aforementioned bucket, and which was, would I imagine, lead to some form of experimentation on myself as a result of being a Balar, as you probably know. And well, something went terribly wrong. Something must have got loose and started eating people or maiming people, or I didn't find out. And well,
so wait, you're really smart, and you didn't see Revisus betraying you and capturing you. That must have hurt your ego.
Sir, I was having a conversation with someone who can understand. I turn back to D4.
I have many questions. Oh. I mean, the first of which is, what use have you for nibbles?
It's
that is an excellent question.
And also a bucket.
I was speaking to D4.
All right, I shoot my gun, past his head. I don't aim at him, just past his head.
You need to work on your aim.
They're very legally agitated. I'd include them in the conversation.
If we must. But they don't get to speak.
I don't want to take him with us. I want to leave him here.
No, fine. You can all deal with the thing that's in here, and I'll wait outside with D4.
I don't want to take you with us off of here. I want us to go and leave you here.
Dr. Damsel, and Baxter's voice has changed to this kind of way. I finished the line, sir, and I pass him back this horrible scrawl. Doesn't even make any sense.
It's just a handprint on a page.
Yeah.
I sort of take the paper and I kind of look over it, and because I appreciate the attempt, and I sort of peer over the paper at Pax, and I say to him, we have a lot of work to do, you and I. And I very, very precisely and very neatly fold up the piece of paper, and sort of a small compartment opens up in my chest, but where a sort of a chest pocket would be, where you'd put a handkerchief, and then I just sort of drop the paper in there and sort of click shut.
Pax hangs his head in shame.
It's a start, young man, it's a start. So yes, that pretty much brings us to now. There was some oik who was guarding my cell, but he was the aforementioned fleshling who ended up being mauled by whatever it is that's roaming these damned halls. And that pretty much brings us to now.
What does tend to happen to fleshlings. What does bring us here? Clues.
I don't think we need to tell him anything because he's going to be a prick about it. D4, does this door open?
I haven't actually had a look at the panel yet, so I'm going to do a check on that now.
Okay, so by this thick reinforced steel door is a small terminal. The door doesn't seem to have any handles at all. It's quite from what you can see, it's a very heavy grade door. As you press a key on the terminal, the screen glows brighter and gives an option to open the door. But as you ask it to do so, it requires clearance, another different 8-digit code, and you cannot immediately seem to figure it out. If you want to make a computer's check on that, you can.
Yes, I'll give that a try. So that's a natural 20.
It's a natural 20. Okay, so
there we go.
You type it in, and the system starts. You can tell that this door is designed very specifically not to open from the outside. It is essentially panic room grade systems, and as you start to open it, the door opens about 4 inches, and it then locks in place as a secondary backup system kicks in, and you hear a voice from inside go, hello? Hello? Who's out there?
It's your rescue party.
Dr. Captain Damson, you nasty.
I don't know, no, you nasty. What are you doing here? This is a restricted facility.
Quite so. We're trying to hide from the thing that's trying to murder everything.
We're more looking for what's going on.
Hey, why are you here?
I'm not speaking with you, Doctor, you nasty.
Yeah,
we are. Good
manners. That's a start. D4, why are you here?
Don't answer. What's your name, cowardly hider?
My name's Deputy Chief of Security Powell Murphy. I'm just hiding in here until this all blows over.
I mean, I don't really want to tell you exactly who we are because I feel like that's... We're from Revesis.
Look, friend, I don't really care who you are, where you're from. I'm just gonna sit here and wait until the cavalry arrives.
When's that?
I don't know. There's no ships. Revesis send a ship every few weeks, and they don't want any more traffic than they need here. They keep anyone from wandering off or keeps people from finding the place. There's no comms in and out. We just wait until the relief arrives.
We are that relief.
We are the relief, luckily for you.
Oh, I mean, that's nicer than my response.
I am glad to hear that, guys. If you could just go and take care of whatever's happening here, I'll just sit here.
No, hang on a sec. Aren't you Chief of Security? Shouldn't you be involved?
Yeah, I guess, but you ain't seen what I see.
Because
we could probably do without information.
And we'll also report you to our superiors, which probably won't go down very well for you, will it?
Better that than whatever happened to the rest of them. I mean, what do you want from
really?
Me?
Really? We report to Venom Page.
Look, I'm a captain, and you are below me. Get out of here right now. I command you.
And I'm a doctor captain, and he's below me, but I've told him to say that.
As in captain rank?
Yes, he's a very rank captain.
I do smell. Get out.
Roll an intimidation check.
That's a 7.
I'm sorry. You seem like nice people and all, but I don't know you from anyone else. No offense, but you could be part of this or some kind of cleanup crew sent to kill us all. Nah, man. I've seen the movies. I'm going to wait it out in here, and I suggest you find somewhere else to do the same.
Does anyone have any grenades that we could just roll under this door?
If that's what you do, you just solve everything with a...
Shut up.
It is mostly... It's Shut not up. Worked well for us so far, but it's mostly what this group's done.
I can imagine. It's a wonder no one's been killed yet.
Okay. Chief, can you tell us what's gone on here? What did you see?
I don't know. Something went wrong. Something bad. The scientists were working on something, God knows what. About 12 hours ago or so, there was an accident. Something happened. Something got loose. Killed everyone, I think. It's too dark to see on the cameras, but I can hear it. I can see something moving And the shadows. I can hear the screams.
Look, how do we turn the lights?
Yeah, that was my next question.
Sorry, Captain Pax.
Thank you, underling.
Fuck off, Pax.
The lights, you can probably turn them on from various places. The office department probably have a breaker box, or the science department probably can flick them on from there. I mean, I can try and see if I can get them up if you give me a few minutes.
Do what you can, Chief.
Okay.
Do you know anything about the thing that they were experimenting on? Do you know what they were making?
Was it just a really annoying doctor captain?
I don't know what they were making, but there was some kind of artifact or the kind of thing that they'd bring here. I don't mind. I'm just security. I earn 18 credits an hour. This ain't worth my neck.
And you're doing a fantastic job.
If there's anything like that, I'll be down the corridor right twice and the door on your right. It's where they keep the science projects.
Oh, let's have a look.
Actually, I'm with the doctor captain this time.
Yeah, I would like to hit something. Of course you
are. I'll probably shoot him in the back at some point.
I missed the robot, so
I heard that. Don't make me whip out the quill again.
I mean, like I said, you guys seem nice and all, but the whole grenade threat, and I'm going to shut this door right now.
Can you get the lights on for us, Chief?
Just give me one sec. And he leaves for a second, and you hear some typing on a keyboard, and the corridor lights flicker on, and you see around you the illuminated corridor, and what you see is just around little different specks of blood all over the grates on the floor.